Chapter 10. When I had finished, I no longer looked like a beggar. It was as if David Balfour had come to life again. The worst of it was that I felt bad about it, and even worse about the clothes I had been given. I went down to see Mr. Rankeller, who sat me down again to talk to me. "I am sure you want to know what happened between your father and your uncle. Well, it was all because of a woman. Your uncle wasn't always old and ugly. In 1715 he ran away to join the rebellion, but your father went after him, found him in a ditch, and brought him back. Now it came about that the brothers fell in love with the same woman. Ebenezer believed that he would be the one that the woman would choose, and when she chose your father, your uncle became more than a little angry. Your father was a soft man who didn't want to hurt his brother, so he tried to send your mother away to his brother. But she, like you, was no fool. She refused to be used like this and sent both men away. Your father and mother were still in love, and Ebenezer decided that if he couldn't have the woman, he would have the estate. This is what ended badly for everyone. Your mother and father lived and died poor. You were raised as a poor boy. The tenants of the House of Shaws all suffered under Ebenezer, and Ebenezer changed into the horrible man he is now, Mr. Rankeller explained. It seems very strange that a man should change so much because of that, I replied. That's true. Those who knew what had happened turned their backs on him. He was without a friend in the world, and all he had was money, and all he wanted was more money. He was selfish when he was young, and it only got worse as he got old. And you have seen what kind of a man he is now, Mr. Rankeller said. So what is my situation in all of this, I asked, feeling better that I knew what had happened between my uncle and father. The estate is yours. It doesn't matter what your father signed to your uncle. You are the heir to the House of Shaws. But your uncle is not a man to give everything up. He will fight this. Everything that has happened with you and Mr. Thompson would come out, and we may end up left with nothing. I think it would be best to leave your uncle where he is, but you get him to provide you with money, and the estate will be yours when he dies, Mr. Rankeller said. I agreed that this was the best thing to do in the situation. I didn't want everything to be seen by the public. Then we use the kidnapping to get him agree to everything, I said. Yes, and if we can do it without any other lawyers being involved, that would be for the best, Mr. Rankeller said, and I thought for a moment before I replied. Well, what if we did this, I said, and I explained my plan to him. Well, it seems that I will need Mr. Thompson as well, as he will have a part in your plan, Mr. Rankeller said. You will, I agreed. David, I am afraid that I can't have a part in your plan. It's not that I have anything against your friend, Mr. Thompson. I don't know him. But if I met him, then think about what I would have to do. What would happen if his name wasn't even Thompson? Mr. Rankeller said to me with a grin. I'll leave it up to you to decide what is best, I replied, as though I could tell from the expression on his face that Mr. Rankeller liked my plan and was thinking it over. We sat down to dinner with Mrs. Rankeller. After the dinner, he began to talk about my plan again. He asked me about when I was meeting with Alan, and if he could be trusted to help with my plan. He asked me more and more questions. I answered all of them until he was happy he had all the information that he needed. He leaned back in his chair and started thinking again. After a while, he took out a piece of paper and began to write. When he had finished with that, he called for his servant. I must have this written out properly tonight. When you have done it, you'll put on your hat and be ready to come with us. We will need you to be there, Mr. Rankeller said, and gave the piece of paper to his servant. A few hours later, the servant came back with a piece of paper and was ready to go. The three of us left the house and went to meet with Alan Breck. Mr. Rankeller was very well known in Queensferry, and as we walked through the town, people were greeting him as they went. When we had left the town, we walked past the harbour, where I had been kidnapped. As we walked past, I thought about everything that had happened, about the death of Ransom. Most of my kidnappers were dead, either fighting Alan or drowned when the Covenant was lost on the reef. I had lived when so many had died, and I silently thanked God for letting me get this far. When we left the harbour, I started to whistle the Gaelic song that Alan had taught me. After a few minutes of walking, I heard another voice whistling the same tune, and Alan stood up out of a bush. He was not in a good mood, as he had been on his own for a long time and was not in the Highlands anymore. I told him what had happened at Mr. Rankler's house and about my plan to trick my uncle. As soon as he heard that and saw how much better I looked, Alan was in a much better mood. "What an excellent plan," Alan said to me. I would be glad to help you with it all." Mr. Rankler met Alan, calling him Mr. Thompson, the whole time. Although it was clear that they would never be friends, they were both happy to have a part in helping me to get money from my uncle. The two of them walked ahead of me, talking very quietly to each other as they went. I walked with the servant a little way behind them and couldn't hear what they were saying. We walked all the way to the House of Shaws like this. When we reached the house, Alan walked up to the door and knocked on it. He knocked on it for some time with no answer, but then I heard my uncle coming to the window above the door. I was hiding at the corner of the house with Mr. Rankler's servant. Mr. Rankler was standing back so that he was hidden by the night. "What's going on? Who is there? Why are you knocking at my door at this time of night?" my uncle asked from the window. "Is that you, Mr. Balfour?" Alan asked as he looked up at the window. "Why are you here? Who are you?" my uncle asked angrily. "I will not tell you my name so you can spread it all over the country, but I will tell you I am here because of David," Alan replied. "What was that?" my uncle shouted, scared by the mention of my name. "You want me to continue?" Alan asked. "No, I will let you in," Ebenezer replied. "No, I think I will stand here and tell you what I know and what I want." "I am a gentleman, and I know what kind of a man you are," Alan said with a horrible smile on his face. Ebenezer was scared of Alan, but he came down to open the door and talk to him face to face. "My country and my friends are not far from the island of Mull, where a ship sank. A few days later, David was found on the beach. He was taken to my friend's home, where they looked after him, but it cost us a great deal of money. My friend is one of the wild Highlanders and doesn't care about the law. When he found out who his family was, he asked me to come and talk to you about things," Alan explained. "It was a story I had invented for my plan and was told very well by my friend." "He wasn't a good boy. I have no reason to help him," Ebenezer said coldly. "Pretending not to care will not make the amount of money I ask for smaller," Alan said flatly. "I am not pretending anything. I have no interest in helping the boy, and I will pay you nothing." "Do whatever you want with him," my uncle said angrily. "You can't abandon the son of your brother. What would the people around here say when they found out?" Alan asked. "No one likes me here. It'll make no difference to me. Now go away." "Well then, we shall see what they say when David tells them all what happened here," Alan smiled and stepped back from the door. "What did you say?" my uncle asked. "Well, if they are given money, my friends will keep David, but without money, they will let him go. Then he will be able to go anywhere and say anything that he likes," Alan replied. My uncle thought about this for a while before he spoke, but Alan was tired of playing games with my uncle and said, "Give me an answer, or I will run you through with my sword. I know what kind of man you are and what you tried to do. If you pay the money, you can say whether you want us to kill him or keep him for you. But say now," Alan shouted. Keep him, please," Ebenezer cried. "Well, that will cost you more," Alan replied calmly. "More? Fine, I will pay. He is my brother's son," Ebenezer said finally. "Now, it is hard to say how much money we want, but you will tell me how much you paid Hoseason to kidnap him. Then we can make our deal," Alan smiled. "What a black lie! He was not kidnapped," Ebenezer cried. "That's not what Hoseason says," Alan said.
"What?
What did he say?" My uncle frowned. "He told me everything. I've known Hoseason for years. Now tell me, what did you pay him?" Alan asked. "Did he tell you?" My uncle was scared again. "That is my business," Alan replied. "Well, I gave him £20, and he could keep whatever he sold the boy for in the Carolinas," Ebenezer admitted. As my uncle said this, Mr. Rankler stepped forward from the shadows. "Thank you, Mr. Thompson. You did that very well." "Good evening, Mr. Balfour," the lawyer said in a cold manner. Now that Mr. Rankler had shown himself, it was my turn. "Good evening, Uncle Ebenezer," I said as I stepped from the side of the house to join my friends. My uncle didn't know what to say or do. He stood in the doorway like a man that had turned to stone. Alan took the gun my uncle held out of his hands, and we all went into the house. We sat in the kitchen and waited for my uncle to recover from the shock of it all. "We shall make this easy for you, Ebenezer," Mr. Rankler said brightly. Mr. Rankler's servant lit a fire and went to fetch drinks for us. It took a while for my uncle to speak again, but when he did, we stayed up for an hour. We talked about the House of Shaws and money. Eventually, my uncle agreed to give me 2/3 of the money that came to the House of Shaws every year. He would be allowed to stay at the house, and I would have it when my uncle died. We all slept at the House of Shaws that night. I slept in the kitchen and my friends in the beds in the rooms above. I planned my future as I fell asleep. I also planned what to do with Alan. He was my friend, and he had saved me as much as I had saved him, and I wanted to help him. He and James were not the ones that had killed Colin Campbell, but they were the ones paying for it. I went to talk to Rankler about it in the morning. I agree that helping Mr. Thompson is the right thing to do, but his relative is another matter. The Campbells want someone to blame for the death of their relative, and Mr. Thompson's relative is who they want, innocent or not. If you try to help him, you may find that they blame you instead. Highland law will have you dead, Mr. Rankler explained. I knew that he was right, but I still wasn't happy to let James of the Glens die like that. I will be happy to die to set an innocent man free, I said. Then do what you think is right. There are worse things in life than dying, Mr. Rankler smiled at me before he went back into the house. He sat down and began writing two letters. One would help me with my money, and the other was to the Lord Advocate. The Lord Advocate was the only man that could help Alan, James, and I in the matter in the death of Colin Campbell. He was friends with Mr. Balfour of Pilring, one of my relatives, who would also help with the matter. Mr. Rankler and his servant went back home after that. Alan and I went to send Alan home to France. It was strange to say goodbye to him after everything that had happened. I didn't tell him what I was going to do to help clear his name or that of James. We shook hands, and I both cried to be parting. But I was David Balfour of Shaws now. I had money and friends. I had been kidnapped and gone through great suffering. I had lived when so many others had died. When I was alone and Alan safe on his way across the sea, I said thank you to God again. After writing a letter to Mr. Campbell of Essendean, I went off to start my new life. The End.